You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
All right, so sabbatical. You might have been wondering, what in the world did you do? Well, I had three main goals I mentioned last week. One, to work on my marriage. One, to come back rested. And someone did tell me this morning before first service, he said, "Pastor, you're looking really good." I said, "Thank you." And then the third thing was to work on my relationship with Jesus. You say, "Well, how did you do that?" Well, I chose throughout sabbatical to read and reread and reread again. I wrote commentary myself. That was very interesting. Then I read commentary, but I was studying and found myself only reading 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. I talked about it with my sabbatical coach, and that was kind of the direction that we honed in. And 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, not for preaching's sake, but just for me. And that was a real blessing. The other thing that Jessica and I did in regards to our walk with the Lord is we started watching the series Chosen, The Chosen. People were always like, you got to watch this. And now I'm saying it. You got to watch it. If you haven't watched it, it is so good. And we would be finished with the series, but the Olympics have interrupted, and Jessica is head over heels about the Olympics. Today at 11, our women volleyball team is going for gold, and so it's going to be fun. That's like right now. But anyway, I think that it's already happened, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So reading 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, watching The Chosen, worshiping every day, and then spending time in silence, just in the presence of God. Now, before sabbatical, Bobby and I had talked about when I come back, he was like, "Hey, what do you want to do? We should have a plan, some direction." And I said, "I want to do a series on Jesus. Like, who is Jesus? Who Jesus is?" And so that's what we're doing. And my sabbatical coach said, "Hey, you should take a couple days through sabbatical and work on the series so when you come back, it's not overwhelming." And what's interesting, I knew I wanted to talk about Jesus and talk about who Jesus was. And I'm reading 1 John, right? And I know that in 1 John chapter 5, because I've read it and reread it, some things popped out to me like this in verse 1. It says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God." In verse 5, it says, "And how can we win the battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." The next couple of verses, verse 6 says, "And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and shedding of his blood on the cross, not by water only, but by blood and water. And the Spirit, who gives truth, confirms his testimony. So we have three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, the blood, all three agree." John here is talking about Jesus and who he is. Verse 11, "And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life." Everyone say life. And so I'm studying this, and just kind of for my own pleasure, and I'm saying, hey, this is talking about Jesus. And then I remember that in John chapter 1, we see that John, the Gospel of John, which is different from 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, same writer, but different time. It says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God." And the Word was talking about is Jesus. Verse 4 says, "And the Word gave life." Everyone say life. "To everything that he had created." Verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness," which we're going to talk about next week. And then in verse 14, some of you know, it says, "The Word became flesh." Jesus came as a man. And then at the end of John chapter 20, verse 31, it says, "But these are written so that many will continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life." Everyone say life. "By the power of his name. And then from John 1 and throughout the Gospels, we see that people call Jesus the Lamb of God, like John the Baptist. Jesus refers to himself as a Son of Man. Jesus refers to himself as a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy concerning the Messiah. He spoke and acted as if he were God incarnate. That means God in the flesh, and saying, hey, I am God. In John chapter 4, verse 26, to a Samaritan woman, an outcast, he reveals himself. He says directly, I am the Messiah. And boy, in The Chosen, you watch that interaction, it just came to life. Who is Jesus? And then I stumbled, as I was studying and thinking about a series, I noticed that there are 7 I am statements about Jesus in the book of John, each one revealing different aspects of who Jesus is. And how many know when something is repeated over and over in Scripture, you should pay attention? Absolutely. So we see Jesus say, I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and life. I'm the way, the truth, and life. And I am the true vine. Would you say this with me? Jesus said, I am, right? Kapow, ka-chow, right? When Bobby sent me the graphic look for this series, I just smiled. And I was like, yeah, I am. And it was the super debate of the first century church. People are asking the question, who is this Jesus? Is he Elijah? Is he a prophet? Is he a carpenter? Is he even John the Baptist? In fact, even Jesus, in his own way, he asked his disciples at times, hey, who do people say I am? Let's look at it. Mark chapter 8, Jesus and the disciples, they left Galilee, went up to the village, right? As they were walking along, he asked them, who do people say I am? And I was thinking about this. It's kind of an awkward question. If I had my team, the staff or the board together, and I said, hey, I just want to pause here for a second. Who do people say I am? It's like, it's kind of weird, right? I don't know. And the disciples said, well, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say you are the other prophets. And then Jesus, it's almost like he leaned in and he said, who do you say I am? And of course, Peter replies, you are the Messiah. But Jesus warned him not to tell anyone about it. See, this is the idea of this series, is that answering questions about Jesus' identity is one of the most important things we could ever do, to really understand who he is. But before we interject our own thoughts and say, oh, this is who I think he is, or shouldn't we consider who Jesus said he was? Then we can say, or it's like Jesus saying to us, who do you say I am? Now, one more thought before this series rolls out, and we will make our way through. We had a few announcements early. Just so you know, service went a few minutes late for service, and so just buckle up. But this series is for those of you that have a relationship with Jesus. This is going to strengthen your walk with the Lord. That you're going to see things and experience things that are going to, you're going to look back, and this is going to be a high water mark series for you. But this is also a series for those that are curious about Jesus. Maybe those who have flirted with the idea of Christianity, but maybe haven't committed. And this series also is going to be super meaningful. And I want to say this, not so much maybe for you today, but for your friends, your family members that may have turned away from the church, for them to really understand who Jesus is and the implications of who he is, how it affects us, it's going to make a huge difference. And this fall, what we're going to be asking, we're going to allow Jesus to ask us, I should say. Jesus is just going to lean in and ask us, who do you say I am? And the goal is for each of us to answer by saying this, I am changes who I am. Will you say that with me? I am changes who I am. Kapow, ka-chow. I don't even know where kapow, ka-chow is from. From what? That's right, Cars. Yes. That's right. Thank you. Yes. Lightning McQueen and Jesus. Yes. All right. John chapter 8. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8, I want to spend just a second there as we kind of start to think about this I am idea. It's a section of scripture where Jesus is being compared to Abraham, and there's this discussion between the Pharisees and Jesus. It gets heated. They actually call Jesus a devil, actually a Samaritan devil. And so, I mean, that's like the double whammy, really bad. And you come down and you see the interaction, and Jesus in verse 56, we don't have this on the screen, but the next couple verses we do, says, verse 56, he says, this is Jesus talking, your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it, and he was glad. And the people said, you aren't even 50 years old. How can you say that you have seen Abraham? And then Jesus answers. It's like this mic drop moment. He says, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was even born, I am. Now, what's happening here? I want you to hold that idea in John chapter 8. Because Jesus doesn't add a metaphor He leaves it open. He is alluding to the fact that he is divine, that he's eternal. And that word, I am, or that phrase, is rooted all the way back to Exodus chapter 3. I've got it written in my Bible there in John chapter 8, Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, and we'll get there. This is the story of Moses, and it's the burning bush. He's being called to go save Israel. He receives direction to rescue the Israelites from Egypt, right, from slavery. And in verse 10, it says, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh. He says, you must lead my people. Verse 12, I will be with you. And Moses asks the question, who should I say that is sending me? And in verse 14, God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. So the people in Jesus' day, the Pharisees, they know this story. They know it well. And they see the parallel. And do you think Jesus meant for that to be a parallel? Absolutely. The best answer back to John chapter 8, who Jesus is everything we need. And we're going to see that. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was even born, I am. Now, I mentioned there are seven I am statements. The first one is actually found a couple chapters before this in John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. Now, the context of John 6, now we're going to go back to Exodus here in a second and just try to stick with me. But the context in John 6 is the feeding of the 5,000. Recorded in all four Gospels, and again, when things are repeated, it's for emphasis. God wants us to know about that story. And what's interesting is after the people were fed the bread that was multiplied from Jesus, they came back the next day, and they were hungry for more bread. They are looking for a meaning of life, and they found it in this young prophet, this miracle worker. The people are looking for the physical, for the bread, right? But Jesus, like he often does, he takes something physical and he flips it and he turns and talks about something spiritual. A couple chapters earlier, John chapter 4, he does that with the Samaritan woman, with the outcast woman at the well, right? And he says, this is water, but I'm going to give you living water. So physical water, spiritual water. And you see how that works. Well, in John 6, it's talking about bread. And it's tied back to Exodus. Just so you see what's happening here. In Exodus chapter 15 and chapter 16, we see Moses, the Israelites escape. They go through the Red Sea. They sing this song of deliverance. And then they're in the desert. It's hot. 3 days with no water. And there's no Stanleys, ladies. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Moses leads them to Elim. They actually get some water at an oasis, but there's no food in the desert. The people are hungry. They get hangry. And what does God provide? Say it with me. Manna, right? And manna simply means, what is it? It was some sort of bread, some supernatural provision. Now, that happened in Exodus chapter 15. And now go back to Jesus' story, John 6, where he provided, or the 5,000 were fed with just a few loaves and fish. The feeding of the 5,000. And what they're doing is people are now comparing Jesus with Moses. You see? Their minds went to the manna, to the physical, and what happened is Jesus basically says in his discourse that he is better than Moses. He's even better than the manna that was provided for 40 years. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he doesn't just say it once. We're not going to take the time to read it, but over and over in that discourse, he says, I am the bread of life. I came down from heaven. Again, like the manna, came down from heaven. It's not by accident that he says the bread of life. Jesus wanted them to know and for us to know exactly who he is. John chapter 6, verse 51, he says this, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever, and this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. He's not so subtle in John 6. This is a bold statement. It was time now for people to know who he was and to choose to follow him. And then Jesus goes on to tell them that they need to eat this bread. They need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Now, we participated in communion today. And, you know, 2,000 years later, we can look back at the symbolism of Jesus giving his life and the blood shed and all those things. But for the original hearers, it was too much. By the end of John chapter 6, thousands of people dwindled down to a handful, to maybe dozens of followers. It was too hard. The road was not easy. People freak out and they walk away. Look at it, verse 60. It says, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept this, that we have to eat your flesh and drink your blood? And in verse 66, it says, at this point, many of the disciples turned away and deserted him. I want to pause. When you start to study that, you start to understand that there were people that were walking with Jesus for up to 2 years. Up to this point, they had seen what Jesus does. In John, there are seven miracles, kind of like seven I am statements. It's strategic. But there are already, by John chapter 6, five out of the seven miracles had already happened. But what's happening here? Jesus is describing himself at a different level. He's taking them deeper. To answer the question, who is Jesus? He is saying, I am the Messiah, the chosen one, the Savior of the world. And what we're going to see in this series and today is that Jesus' identity, when we really grasp it, it will change our own identity, where we can say, I am, changes who I am. It gets personal. If I was introducing myself, I might say, I am a husband. I am a father. I'm a pastor. I'm an American. Go USA. I'm a college graduate. I'm an athlete. Kind of. I mean, all right, maybe that's a stretch. But the most important metaphor describing myself should be that I am a follower of Jesus. Would you agree? Same is true for you. Now, a follower of Jesus, well, who is Jesus? Well, what's most important is not what he necessarily does, although the premise of the series is this idea that if our knowledge grows about who he is, if we sit with him, if we spend time in his presence, then our confidence to live victoriously and see miracles happen and to share our faith unashamed and ultimately be transformed by Jesus. That's the point. It gets really personal. And I want you to be prepared for that. Jesus leans in and says, I am the bread of life. So, what does the bread of life mean? Well, I think there's two main things. Number one is it means that Jesus is God. I mean, it is clear in every commentary, every perspective, that Jesus is describing himself as the Messiah, the promised one. It's like the 1-2 punch, I am, kapow, ka-chow, right? The only way to heaven, the Savior of the world. And then we've got to wrestle with the response, all right, Jesus says this, either he's lying, he's a lunatic and believes it, but it's not true, or it's true. And then we have to respond. We either need to reject or we embrace it. My hope is you embrace it, saying, I am, changes who I am. But we wrestle with it, our salvation, or those coming back to Jesus. So that's the first thing we've got to understand, that this, I am bread, I am the bread of life, means that Jesus is God. But I think there's a secondary meaning as well, is that Jesus is everything we need. How many know the old song, and the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace? The things of this earth, our hobbies, the what we think about ourselves, our identity, our profession, or how about the things we worry about grow dim because Jesus is life. He gives life to the world. Just think about all the things that we get consumed with. In fact, can you think of at least one thing that you get consumed with that your mind will race about or that you get, you know, you think about? There's so many things we will seek after. For me, this summer, we were coming home from Florida. We were driving, and we've been saving for Jessica's next car for a while. And I was talking about a car, and I said, Jess, you know, I want to start looking for your next car, whatever. And she's like, Ben, I'm good. Like, I think this car, as long as you think it's going to last the next few years, I don't need a new car. And it got me thinking, well, we've got a little money that we've been saving. Maybe I'll sell my car. And so we started talking about it, and I used to be a truck guy. When I met Jessica, I was driving a truck for most of my years in Dayton, Ohio. I was driving a truck. When we moved here, I had a truck and trailer, and then things happened. And most of you don't know that I'm a truck guy, but I like trucks a lot. And so what our agreement was is that I could take what I thought my car was worth and find a truck to replace it and just kind of swap the two. And so... if you know me at all, I can get consumed and get obsessive about things. And I might have went a little overboard and made a bunch of trips looking at a bunch of junk trucks. Ended up buying a 2003 Ford Ranger. You'll see it in about 6 months when I finally get it finished. But no, just kidding. I got overwhelmed. I get it. And we all get consumed with things, don't we? But the things we seek after are meaningless. When we really look at life and what's important, it's Jesus. He's all we really need. Jesus is the bread of life. Now in the story, John 6, people turned away. Even after 2 years, they're saying it's too hard. The truth is, they did not know Jesus. They'd walked with him. They saw what he did. But apparently, they didn't know him deeply. And so I think we need to stop and say, all right, Lord, you know, who are you? And what does it mean? And the idea that he is the sustainer of life, he's what gives us everything. And then to embrace the thought that the I am changes who I am. I think there are a lot of people in this world and possibly even here at the Gateway Church that would say, oh, I am a Christian. I attend, or my family, we're all believers, or we give, or we serve. And there is a just a hard message found in Matthew chapter 7. People are coming to Jesus and saying, hey, we prophesied in your name. We even cast out demons in your name. And at the seat of judgment, Jesus says in Matthew 7:23, I never knew you. Is it possible to be around Jesus for 2 years and then to walk away because you didn't really know him? You knew what he did? I hope that's not the case. The point of this series is not to know about him, but to really know him. Jesus meets us where we are. And the reality is, he knows exactly what you need. We can cast our cares on him. And we shouldn't just look for the miracles, right? The manna in the desert. Jesus is not a meal ticket or an entertainer or just a miracle worker. What we decide he is, we should decide that he's enough. Every other bread, so to speak, will fail. But Jesus is enough. I'm going to ask the worship team to come and join me. I want to bring this to a close. I want to just kind of wrestle with those two ideas that Jesus is God. And if that's true, we have a decision to make. And then, is Jesus enough? Is he enough? I was thinking about sabbatical. One of the things we got to do when we were at our marriage retreat, they said, hey, plan a special date. And so they were charging the men to kind of plan a date. And so we did, or I did. And if you know me, I like, you know, good steak. And so I'd been to a Morton Steakhouse one time before. And there was a Morton Steakhouse kind of close. And if you don't know what Morton's is, don't even worry about it. It was an expensive steak, right? And as I was preparing and just thinking about the bread of life and get Jesus is enough. We had a great meal. It was probably more expensive than I wanted, but whatever. And within a couple hours, I kid you not, I was hungry. I'm like, this is ridiculous. We literally just spent, and I'm not even going to tell you, if some of you have been there, you know what it costs. And I'm like, I was left hungry. And the fact is, we chase after stuff, after relationships. We think, you know, it could be gambling or pornography or the pursuit of money or relationship. All these things, these idols. And the truth is, we crave these things and we miss that Jesus really is all we need. Not that we can't enjoy some things, but in the end, the only thing that will satisfy is the gospel message, Jesus. We have all these savior substitutes. We pursue the bread, the physical. And sometimes it's relationships, like I said, or for some it's drugs or alcohol or the approval of people. These are not the bread of life. Jesus is the sustainer. He's the only one that's enough. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. If you are here this morning and you're saying, man, Pastor, Jesus is a new concept, or maybe you served Jesus, had a relationship with Jesus at one point, and now you've walked away. Today is your day to surrender. Jesus clearly describes himself as the Savior, and now it's our choice to either choose that, to follow him, or to reject him. If you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? I'm not going to call you out. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Who else saying yes to Jesus today? You got a couple young guys here. Who else? If you're online, you can type in the chat, I need Jesus, and we'll follow up with you. For sure. for the sake of these two or maybe others that didn't have the boldness to raise your hand, I'd like to just lead us in a prayer. Would everyone participate and say, Dear Heavenly Father, please forgive me for all my sins. I believe in you. You are the bread of life. You are God. I put my faith in you. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. I love it. If I could get your eyes back on me for a second, I'd like to take it just another step. And I kind of squealed on myself that I've kind of taken a deep dive on a silly 2003 Ranger. And it needed a few things, and so it's a work in progress, and it will be on the road, and you'll see it in the next few weeks. But that's me saying, hey, my mind can get off what's really important, even during sabbatical, okay? That's the honest truth. There was a point I'm like, all right, this is ridiculous. I got to just stop. And Jessica was like, yeah, you think? She's so great. But I want us, if you can identify an area in your life that either is or has the potential to get your eyes off of Jesus, something that you might obsess about, and put Jesus second place, if you can identify something, I want you just to stand right where you are. Yeah. Yeah. What is it? Yeah. It's actually a trick question because every single one of us should be standing. There's always something that has a potential. And Satan, he's tricky. And so, but what I want us to do is I want us to think at the beginning of this series, do I really believe that Jesus is the bread of life? He's the sustainer. He is enough. And the things that consume me, that I get my mind off of, or even things that trip me up or cause issues, those things can become strangely dim. They can be minimized if I keep my focus on Jesus. That's the goal for today. Let me pray for you, Lord, and then Bobby's going to lead us. Lord, I thank you for this morning, for the truth of your word. I pray that it would speak loud and clear. And in the early stages of this series, I pray that we would not only commit to you, that we believe that you are the Son of God and we want a relationship. I pray that the things of this earth that so easily entrap us, God, will become less, that you will become more. Fill us, Jesus, with your presence and your power, with your living bread, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
Yes, Jesus, we thank you that you are the living God, that you are the I am, that whenever we say Jesus is the Lord, it literally means you are the I am God, the God who was and is to come. Now, we don't worship some God of stone or wood, some inanimate object. We don't worship some pie in the sky, but we worship the great I am. Jesus, we thank you that death couldn't hold you, that you are alive, that you are here, that you are with us. Lord Jesus, and we're sorry for all the times that we put things in front of you, that we try to fill ourselves up with achievement or success or wealth and fortune or sin and pleasure. Lord, let us be people who instead are full of you, that you are enough. You are our source. You are our sustenance. You are everything we need. And Lord, when we're full of you, we don't need anything else. We are not controlled by anything else. So Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in you. But Lord, it starts by us remembering that you are the bread of life. You are sent from God. You are our source and our supply. And you are everything we need, Lord. And we know that, Lord, for us who follow you, if some of us could sometimes forget or have other values, Lord, that we are going out in a world that is defined by those things, defined by wealth, defined by power, defined by pleasure. And let us be people that leave this place defined by you. Let us be people who leave this place offering others, not judgment, but offering others the bread of life, that those people think that they can gain more and it would sustain them, that it would help them lose their hunger. But Lord, we have the only thing. Lord, if they receive you, they'll be hungry for those things no more. Lord, we thank you that you are enough for us. And we thank you that you go before us, behind us, and all around us as we leave this place. We give you all the praise and all the glory. And thank you that you send us as your ambassadors. And we go in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. Go in God's grace, and we'll see you next week. God bless.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.